This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Show. Thanks so much for being here. Reminder that we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. We've got Sparky hosting with Mason today, so that's going to be a great show. We've got Kurt Hogg to talk some Milwaukee Brewers baseball. We've got Brewers baseball coming up this week, so very excited about that. Kurt's going to be joining at 9:40 a.m. today, so make sure to stick around and listen to what Kurt has to say about this Brewers team coming up in 2025. Right now, though, we are being joined by the wonderful Jacob Westendorf. You can find him on Packers on SI and, of course, in the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, it is always a pleasure to be hearing your voice, whether it be via phone call, on the radio, or on a podcast. How are you doing on this beautiful Monday morning?
Yeah, it's windy as all holy heck. So good thing that, I guess the Brewers are in the Bronx to start the season, but it does not feel like baseball weather with opening day here on Thursday.
No, it very much does not here in Green Bay either. We've got probably about 3 inches of snow that we got over the last 24 hours. So no, it does not definitely feel like baseball out. I know that you're probably feeling a little bit better than I'm feeling about college basketball because you've got your Michigan Wolverines that are still in the Sweet 16 in this one. So you're probably feeling a little bit better than I am.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a soft spot for the Wisconsin group, too. So I guess I kind of cheat and root for both of those teams. And whichever one does better, I'm the classic front runner and raise their hands on that. But that was a bit of a bummer on Saturday night. Was hoping for a better shot there at the end. But I don't know. I mean, I'm no basketball expert of all the sports. That's the one I follow and know the least. But it felt to me like the last shot was more looking for a foul than looking to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I think he was expecting, I mean, he does such a great job, Tanjay, that is, with the head fakes that usually he gets people up in the air and either can maybe draw a foul or just get them off their feet and then he can go up on it afterwards and get a better look, and they just didn't buy it at all. Either they had a great scouting report on it or he just played solid defense, but certainly obviously not the shot that you want in that situation. But we've got a lot of football to discuss, Jacob, so let's get into it right away. One of the things that I kind of looked at this weekend is the Packers' overall weapons on offense, and I did that for the podcast, but I want to get your take on where you feel this Packers weapon group is right now. Obviously disappointed going into through the entirety of last season for the most part. They only pick up Mecole Hardman. You've got Christian Watson that's out hurt via injury. So how do you feel about this overall Packers weapons group of running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends right now?
Yeah, honestly, if you told me that Watson was going to be back like October 1st, I would tell you I feel fine. He's kind of the straw that stirs that drink. Unfortunately, I don't think Watson's going to play until, you know, late November, early December. But I'm not selling my stock in Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks, which isn't to say that I'm not looking to add to this position group either. You know, Romeo Doubs and Watson are both set to be free agents at the end of the year. I think there's a slight overreaction to the fact, I think some of it is warranted, but I think there's a slight overreaction to the last three games of the season where the offense was mostly inept. You know, I know they put up some points in garbage time against Minnesota, but that was after the score was, 27-10, so you take that with a grain of salt. Sure. The Bears game in general is just weird. I don't even really know what to do with that game because the Packers cared, but they didn't care, and I think the tone for that whole game, this is a whole other topic we could do, but I think the tone for that game was set early in the week, so that was a little strange. But then the Philly game, I mean, by the end of the game, they were without their top three receivers, but they had two of those three guys for a decent portion of the game and just never looked like they were able to get into a rhythm there. So I think they could stand to add a guy or two here, not just for the short term, but for the long term. Like I mentioned, all four of those guys have a contract in the next couple of years. Love Tucker Kraft. Still have some stock in Luke Musgrave and kind of excited to see what they think and do with the backfield. Jacobs is obviously incredible. Marshawn Lloyd is somebody that can give them, I think they could stand to find a home run threat out of the backfield. For as good as Jacobs was a year ago, you know, he's not taking one from 60 and scoring. I don't think he did that at all last season, to be honest with you. So whether that's Lloyd, whether they add a guy on day three to push, you know, Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson, I feel good about Green Bay's offense, but that's kind of how I feel about the rest of their team. It's like I feel they're, you know, they're kind of okay here. They're good here. They're just not really great anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment of it. I think there's still a lot of pieces on this offense that I like. I think in totality, there's still a good chunk of pieces there, but I think we all wanted them to maybe add that maybe one more piece that could maybe make this offense go just a little bit faster, more aggressive, and be that guy that you kind of, you know, to maybe take some of the pressure off of Jordan Love. And with kind of in that realm, Jacob, there's been a lot of discussion, let's put it that way, and the comments that Brian Gutekunst made. It was such an interesting sort of sidebar at the end of his end of the season press conference where you could clearly tell that he wanted to say these words because he was not asked about urgency or anything like that. He was asked a totally different question and then sort of brought it into the realm on his last question of, hey, it's time for this team to start having urgency. And there's been a lot of different views on that comment. And it was, I'll let you go over before I go over my interpretation of it, but your thoughts on that comment and how it's been kind of interpreted by the fan base so far.
Yeah, so I think initially the discussion was, oh, he's like big game hunting and he's going to find another Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and he's going to be in the trade market for DK Metcalf and Trey Hendrickson or Devontae Adams or some guy that we haven't even talked about just yet. And some of that could still happen, I suppose. Trey Hendrickson hasn't been traded yet. They're the unknown player. You know, the A.J. Brown trade famously for the Eagles was on draft day a couple of years ago. So that's something that could still happen. But, you know, some of the big trade market guys, too, the Max Crosby pipe dream, the Myles Garrett pipe dream, those guys are staying in Las Vegas and Cleveland, respectively. So those guys just weren't available. And the free agent class, kind of as a whole, not that great. The spin I took after that was looking into it as saying, well, what if he was talking about something else? And if you looked into every big game Green Bay played last year, it was the same trend. They start slow. They fall behind. They pick up the pace towards the end. I remember Xavier McKinney after the Vikings game telling Lily Zhao, like, I want to say we're as good as these teams, but we haven't beaten them. We got to play cleaner. We got to start faster. We got to be the Tom Brady talked during the Vikings game about being more on their details, and their detailed passing game is not there. I wondered then, is Gutekunst maybe talking about the sense of urgency within the team from week to week? Sometimes a young team, it's hard to learn, you know, that each game matters because you don't want to put too much stock in one game, but you also want to put all the stock into one game, right? That's why we were talking about how when Malik Willis had to start against the Colts, it was such a big game for Green Bay because they were already 0-1. You know, you fall to 0-2, 0-3. We didn't know what we were going to get from the backup quarterback situation. You fall to 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. Your season's over. You know, that's not something that teams come back from. So I wondered if Gutekunst was maybe more talking about coaches, players, guys in the locker room. You know, Tucker Kraft at the end of the season told the media as well that, like, we could kind of feel this brewing. Well, why could you feel that? You know, that's kind of the question I'd be asking if I was a general manager. He feels good about his roster, clearly. He thinks there's a lot of talent in there, and I do as well. But I also feel like they underachieved in 2024, and that was a big reason for that.
Yeah, I think it's certainly well said. And as I looked at it, the way that I viewed the comments were, it was an internal comment of, hey, it is time for everyone in this organization to understand that we are, it's great that we're the youngest team in football and that we're making playoffs and those sort of things. That's not the goal here in Green Bay. It is time to start winning championships as Green Bay Packers. And it, to me, it felt like a call to action to everyone in the organization, specifically internally. I also felt like he needed to back it up on his own, meaning if you're going to call everyone else out in the organization to have a sense of urgency, you sort of also have to go out and have a sense of urgency. Now, again, everyone may have a different feel for as to whether or not Green Bay did that when they don't add a defensive end slash pass rusher or a wide receiver other than Mecole Hardman, who's more kick returner, punt returner in free agency. But to me, going out and spending a huge chunk of money on Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs and re-signing Brandon McManus and Isaiah McDuffie still shows some level of urgency for this team. And I think he sort of backed it up, and now it's up to everyone else to also back it up and also for him to go out and have a really good draft and hopefully hit finally on one of those first round picks as of late that can maybe impact this team in a significant way in 2025. Do you sort of agree with that assessment?
Yeah, and I would say, too, that like a disagreement in the assessment of the roster does not equal a lack of urgency. You know, the
correct.
Packers, I know, like, a lot of people want them to just give up on Lucas Van Ness, just for example. And, like, this is a guy they took in the top 15. After two seasons, they're not just going to say, well, that guy stinks. We're moving on. We're cutting. Maybe he wouldn't have been, like, the barrier to trade for someone like those guys I mentioned earlier. But they're not going to sign a big-ticket free agent out there like, say, Dioda Higbo, and then draft a guy in the first round and basically say, okay, Luke, you could get cut at the end of training camp. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not something
correct.
That's going to happen. He talked about liking the guys that they have at receiver and feeling like those guys could take a leap. Again, and a difference in opinion as far as who he has in his receiver room and not necessarily needing to get Devontae Adams back in Green Bay. And I don't think that was going to happen as soon as he got cut anyways. He was going to go to the West Coast if he could choose to do so. Or trading for even DK Metcalf, disagreeing that they should give a guy like him $150 million and give up a second-round pick for the right to do so. I don't think that's a lack of urgency. I think that's a difference of opinion. You know, I think that Gutekunst likes the roster that he has. I think he likes the team that he has. And I also think that the Packers have a philosophy that has proven to work over a very long period of time. You know, they signed the guys that they did. They spent $135 million in total contracts and free agency, if I'm doing that math right. And they got better, in my opinion, on the offensive line. Was it worth the contract? That's another discussion we can have a different day. And Hobbs is, I think, before free agency started, somebody that would know out in Raider land told me that is the best slot corner on the market, and the Raiders want to keep him. Whether or not he ends up playing in the slot primarily, I don't know. But that's another guy that's going to upgrade Green Bay's team in a room that, you know, the Packers, their fan base, by the end of the year, was pretty upset with, even though I don't think the cornerback room was a reason that they lost against Philadelphia. But I can understand the pressure point in that spot. So I think Gutekunst likes his team. I think he acted with as much urgency as he could in this free agent market. He also did say in that same press conference, there's not a Josh Jacobs and an Xavier McKinney in every single free agent class, and he's right about that. So, you know, it's just interesting to see now, is he aggressive in the draft, in a draft class that's considered relatively weak, or is he kind of do the same thing the Packers always do and let the board come to them, or does he go find a guy like maybe somebody that he went to see personally at an Arizona Pro Day?
That would be an interesting move, to say the least. We're being joined by Jacob Westendorf. You can find him on Packers on SI and the Packaday podcast. You can find him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. And of course, you're listening to the Packaday radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. All right, I want to talk a little bit of draft with you, since you sort of pivoted perfectly to that conversation. I actually want to start. You did a mock draft recently, and if I remember correctly, you had a certain Ohio State offensive lineman as a first-round pick for Green Bay in that draft, which I know there were a couple on this station that were talking to me of like, what are we doing here? First-round offensive tackle or offensive lineman? So I want you to kind of go over that pick and what you were thinking maybe in that situation.
Yeah, thank you, Mason Crosby, for sending that and attempting to light my mentions on fire. At least might as well, but it was. Yeah. So the way that I approach a mock draft isn't necessarily what I would do. It's what I think Green Bay could do in certain situations. Would it shock anybody if they took a guy that they think was a top 10 pick to play left tackle and he's going to be their guy in 2026? I don't think so. I think that, in general, as we're sitting right here, yeah, I think the Packers view maybe Jordan Morgan as their long-term left tackle, but they never repped him there last year in camp. I know what they've said, but actions also speak louder than words. I think they love, I think they like Rashid Walker. I don't think they love him. I would be surprised if he got a contract extension unless it was like I'm trying to think of a good example of like the Devontae contract when everybody got it. Ted Thompson's last negotiation he did, where everyone was like, whoa, that was a bargain. Maybe they could get something like that for Rashid Walker, or maybe the Elgton Jenkins contract before Chris Lindstrom's Once Upon a Time, something like that maybe. But Josh Simmons is a guy who people I talk to, and when it comes to linemen, I talk to linemen with all due respect to some of the great guys. There's just things that are more noticed from a detail standpoint. Guys like Andy Phillips, who played for the Packers in 2015, said this guy's a top 10 draft pick, but he got injured at the end of the season. And that has kind of bumped him down a little bit. If he's sitting there at 23 and you tell him, hey, this is a guy that's in the stable, he's your swing tackle for 2025, and in 2026 he's going to start at left tackle. Maybe he starts at left tackle in 2025 if Rashid Walker were to falter in a situation like that. That wouldn't surprise me at all if Brian Gutekunst were to do something like that. And I think that that's a player who, again, a long-term left tackle. I think that as much as we talk about how spoiled the Packers have been with the quarterback situation, and they certainly have, you know, left tackle position, it's basically been Chad Clifton and David Bakhtiari until this transition to Rashid Walker. Those are two Hall of Very Good players, one of which, if not for a tragic knee injury, probably would have been a Hall of Fame type of player. So I think adding those guys, Gutekunst talked about wanting to be better in the trenches. He spent a boatload of money on a guard. I just don't think that's a position he's going to pass up on if the right player were to fall to that spot.
You know he will not. He loves premium players. Obviously, big school player from Ohio State. And he's going to look ahead to 2026 as well. We all love to live in 2025, but he looks ahead to future seasons. And as he sees Zach Tom and Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker as unrestricted free agents and Elgton Jenkins with a $20 million cap savings, if you move on from him, he's going to take all those things into consideration and say, hey, it's great we have Jordan Morgan and now we have Aaron Banks, but we could use some more talent on that offensive line just for A, depth and competition this year, and then B, for future seasons as well. And we know, Jacob, you can never have enough really good offensive offensive lineman either. So would be an interesting decision to go in that direction. I'm sure it would light a lot of Packers hair on fire if that's what they ended up doing, and we'd get a lot of angry comments. But I could certainly not put it past Brian Gutekunst to make a move like that if he felt he was best player on the board. Before we get you out of here, a couple other quick questions. What I know you and Jacob Morley, you know, talked about this recently, but maybe just a couple of the best and worst options that could be there for Green Bay at pick 23, in your opinion.
Yeah, Simmons was one of those guys that I talked about a little bit. Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, is a guy who, like...
Of course, as a Michigan guy, you're going to bring up Will Johnson.
But if he's going to be a top five to top 10 pick coming into this whole process, and now, like, going 21, 22, and some mocks from guys like McShay, Daniel Jeremiah, player people that are plugged in. Now, maybe that won't be the case by the time April rolls around here, but if he's somebody who's there, that was... For as much disdain as I got for the Josh Simmons pick, the week prior I took Will Johnson, and that was universally praised. So I think that's something. As far as corners go, that's the guy to me, though, that could be around that area. He's relatively healthy. He did have some injury issues in Ann Arbor, but relatively healthy. Ball production. I personally am not worried about his long speed. Like he kind of said once, did you ever see anybody run past me? I personally didn't, but... that's one guy I think that fits their cornerback room relatively well. He adds another boundary guy to push guys like Carrington Ballantyne, Keyshawn Nixon, players of that ilk. So that's another guy. The defensive tackle, Derek Harmon from Oregon, that's becoming like the Cooper DeJean pick from a season ago, where it's like I think everybody just copies and pastes their mock draft from the week prior, and they just leave Harmon's name next to Green Bay unless they decide to move him up. But that's another guy. Bad options... I don't know that I want to say in this class, really, it is just as simple to me, and it's this simple in every class, but get a good player. And I know that sounds silly. One thing that maybe I'd scratch my head with is like if they took like Gray Zabel from North Dakota State or somebody who's just strictly an interior guy, which I mean, I'm not that these positions matter less than this position guy. But that being said, if you are going to spend a pick that early on an offensive lineman, you have in theory four guys already for three spots. If you had a fifth, that would be a little bit interesting, especially with he's not going to be able to cross train and kick outside or do anything like that. So to me in this class, it really is as simple as get a good player. There aren't a ton of blue chip prospects like there have been in recent years. So find the guy who that is. I'm interested too, to see, you know, the pass rushers they've already brought two of those guys in that we know about, at least with Shamar Stewart from A&M and then James Pierce from Tennessee. How much of that's interest? How much of that? I know with Pierce specifically, he had some legal issues, and the Packers have typically brought in anybody who has some sort of legal history. Devontae Wyatt, Rashee Rice are two names that come to mind of guys who had like some checkered history, if you will, that came in for visits. So how much of that is doing diligence on that versus, in Pierce's case, really actual interest, because he's about 30 pounds lighter than what Gutekunst is typically preferred on the outside.
Yeah, I wonder if that's either, again, doing some red flag checkouts or if that's maybe more of a red herring for the rest of the league of thinking like, oh, the Packers could pick him. They had him in for a visit. But you never quite know what Goody is thinking in some of those situations. Again, Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. You can find him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. All right, you talked about Will Johnson falling. Yeah, where would you put Will Johnson compared to Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold last year?
Right there with Quinyon, and I really liked Quinyon. Like, I was hoping that he was going to drop to Green Bay, and of course, Philly took him, like, what, five picks before the Packers were on the clock or something
three.
Like that.
And that's kind of my point here, right, is that Quinyon fell to pick 22 last year, right? And Terrion Arnold was at pick 24 last year. And every draft's a little bit different, and things get valued differently and whatnot. But if you're saying, like, well, you know, for those who might be thinking, well, there's no way Will Johnson is going to be there in those situations, well, he very well could be, because we saw a very, you know, in that same realm of player take in right around 22 and 24 this previous season. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. Yeah, last but not least, kind of before we get you out of here, I did want to ask you about Shamar Stewart. I know there's a lot of angst and anxiety amongst Packers fans that if Shamar Stewart is there, they're going to take him, and it's just going to be this another super highly talented player that just did not have any production in college. How do you feel about that? And if you are pro Stewart, what would you say to Packers fans who are maybe a little bit trepidatious about that?
I would tell you that the best players are almost always the best athletes. Finding, like, the other thing about it is when somebody says, well, find me the guy with the traits and the production, I'm like, okay, well, that's like Aiden Hutchinson or guys that go, you know, Nick Bosa, guys that go in the top 10. It's not very often that you find the crazy athlete who also happened to have 15 sacks his final season in college. Now, there are other examples, but the super high athlete with upside and everything like that, I'm a proponent of it. You just said he was really talented. You know, you got to trust your coaching staff on some of that stuff as well. Lucas Van Ness, to date, has not panned out, and maybe he won't. But there's also a possibility that he does. And if he does, I think we're kind of underrating Rashawn Gary and the type of player that he's become in Green Bay, because that was the same thing, right? Like, he was the high athlete, no upside thing. And everyone's like, well, he's not even any good. It's like, well, no, Rashawn Gary's really good. He's just not great, which is totally fine. Like, I understand that criticism, but we don't have to make him a bad player for the sake of making him not a great one either. Stewart, to me, just with those traits, that athletic profile, I just can't picture a scenario where he actually ends up falling. I know that people have got him down at 30 and 32. There's got to be somebody ahead of Green Bay that would just fall in love with him. But if they don't, I'm pretty sure Brian Gutekunst would as well. Maybe it wouldn't be the instant impact in the first season that everybody's kind of hoping for, and I understand the angst about that. But, you know, the other reality is the Packers are just going to view this thing the way that they do. I remember Gutekunst saying that they view things as more of a long-term process and a long-term decision. I get it. I understand. The reality of the situation is, yes, some of Green Bay's draft, it's very rare that you get a draft class like Philly's last year where Mitchell and DeJean are awesome players for them basically right away and spearhead them into a Super Bowl championship. Usually, and this is how it worked in Green Bay when they won the title in 2010, it was Clay Matthews going from good player to great player. It's those guys taking those second and third year jumps. So Green Bay needs that from guys like Lucas Van Ness, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, go down the line of players in those roles. So I'm personally not going to do anything about that. The Packers clearly see and think they know something. They have a new defensive line coach, which is something they're clearly going to bank on as well with not adding any of those premier rushers in free agency, like you mentioned earlier. So, you know, you got to build some of these guys up. And I think Justice Mosqueda, I don't know if you guys talked about this together or not, put it really well though. College edges are just different now, and the way that teams have to put them together, there's almost nothing in common with the way the box is lined up in the NFL versus the way that it is in college. So it's just tough to find players that are ready to roll almost immediately.
It really, really is, and I'm going to be very interested to see just where Shamar Stewart goes. I'm with you. I think he actually goes ahead of 23 if Green Bay takes him. I think that almost probably have to move up, and man, are Packers fans going to lose their mind then if they move up to go get Shamar Stewart. But he's a very talented football player. I haven't done a full tape study on him yet, but what I've seen, I've been very impressed by. Jacob, I cannot thank you enough. I know we got to get you out of here, but tell us where we can find all of your amazing work and anything you got coming out this week.
Yeah, social media. You can find me at Jacob Westendorf. I do a mock every week. Like I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a this is what could happen, maybe not necessarily what I would do, but I'll get some of that and plenty of other stuff. Green Bay Draft Guide, pre-order that. It comes out in early April. So myself, Jacob Morley, Ross Uglum, throwing some stuff together. This is our fourth year of production. So putting the finishing touches on that for you guys to have it for the draft in Green Bay, and I'll be around. So we'll be able to figure out who they pick and who that is that's going to help push Green Bay into next year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, hopefully we can connect during that time. I cannot thank you enough for all of your incredible work, and I cannot stress to you enough how what a must-have the Green Bay Draft Guide is. I'm not saying that. This is not a cheap plug for Jacob and Ross and Jacob because they are friends of the show. It is literally a must for me come draft time, just personally, because they do such a great job of sorting which Packers players, based on trends in history, or which draft picks are most likely to be made by Green Bay, and their hit rate on it is insane, and it allows me to sort of dive into which Packers, or which potential Packers I should, you know, dive into and cover pre-draft that are more likely to be Packers when they actually are drafted. So it is a absolute must-have, and Jacob, I cannot thank you and the rest of the team for all the time, effort, and energy that you put into that and all the hard work that you do. So Green Bay Draft Guide, go make sure and get it. Jacob, we will talk to you again soon, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you as well. Go follow him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. Again, check out that Green Bay Draft Guide. This is the Green Bay, sorry, this is the Pack a Day radio show, I should say, right here on 105.7 and 1250 AM The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.